Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for His mercies that give us freedom to come into His presence and to worship and enjoy Him. Several announcements before we get started. First of all, we are on an upgraded Zoom experience. We have a couple of cameras and we're working all the sound through the sound booth. So the quality of that hopefully will be much better. If there's some issue, you can text James Robertson. Not because he hasn't done enough, but he always wants more to do. Hopefully this will be a much improved system, and especially the sound should be much improved. So thank you, James, for all that you did to make that possible. A couple quick announcements. Don't forget, prayer meeting is on Wednesday night, but this Wednesday night at the end of the prayer meeting, somewhere around 7:40 or so, we'll also be having a presentation by the session about why they believe masks are important and and all questions that you might have in regard to that. That's Wednesday at 7:40. Day of service. We still have one or two small projects left. If you're willing to help with that, please speak to Dana Little. She's coordinating that and let her know. Women. There's a women's Bible study that the PCA is putting on. Two different options. You should have gotten that in your email. If you did not and you have, or if you have questions on it, one is on the book of Ephesians. The other one is an 8-week study called God does His Best Work with Empty by Nancy Guthrie. So if you're interested in one of those, talk to Dana or someone from the women's ministry team. And the rest of the announcements you should have gotten in your bulletins and cover with that. Let's take a moment to prepare our hearts for worshiping the Lord. Worship this morning is a reminder from Psalm 30. You, Lord, have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let's do that together as we sing Trinity Hymnal number 100, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Evermore. shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty,
far above what we could even begin to imagine, perfect in your righteousness, just in all of your actions. Lord, we are not, and yet you call us and have made a way for us to come into your presence, to know you and to adore you. How thankful we are for your mercies, how thankful we are for your power, which has delivered us from sin and death. How thankful we are that you have brought us to yourself. Help us even now to behold your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our confession of sin this morning is from Psalm 39 and is about asking the Lord to teach us to number our days aright. And in a world that's upside down with this virus, with riots, with just the regular frustrations and hardship of life, it's an important thing for us to remember to always live in light of eternity and who we are and all we do. Let us read responsibly from Psalm 39. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that we have a glimpse of eternity and how humbling that is. For eternity is far greater than any mountain we might scale, any ocean we might cross. It indeed is far beyond our understanding. And by that, Lord, we know that our span is but a moment. And so, Lord, help us to live in the light of eternity. Forgive us for all the ways we try to settle for less. Open our eyes to see by the power of your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts to understand. Help us to be faithful stewards of this gift of eternity, that we might praise you, our Lord and our God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The Lord indeed pardons us. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. May the Lord bless us with that forgiveness and help us to stand in it. Our reading this morning is adapted from a liturgy for a sick day. Again, let us read responsively. For this brief pause, for this reminder of our weakness and of our dependence upon you, we thank you, O Lord.
A season such as this, in which we endure a measure of sickness or unease, is a reminder that the redemption of all things is not yet complete. It is a reminder that this body will decline and one day fail. And so it is also a reminder that the ways we spend our days matter. For our hours, revealed like veins of gold beneath the rushing stream, are a limited resource to be purposefully mined or forever lost.
A season such as this is a reminder that good health and vigor are gifts to be consciously and gratefully enjoyed, and to be invested while they might in eternal things.
Let me live now in light of the knowledge that a time might come in this life when I feel such sickness and discomfort for a long season, when I must adjust to a new normal, when my abilities are limited either by the slow decline of age or from some accident, injury, or disease. Therefore, let me use the good health that I have while I have it, presuming nothing.
Let me use it to serve well, to love well, to care for your people, your creation, to spend my allotted days cherishing hearts, creating beauty, bringing order, offering healing, delighting in your goodness manifest to me in a million ways, and so to one day come to the end of my days, having stewarded them well.
Heal our community from this sickness, O Christ, our healer. Be gracious. Give rest. Raise us again to health with a heightened sense of thankfulness for the unmerited gift of well-being, and also with a greater sense of compassion for those who suffer lingering ailment, disease, or discomfort. Teach me by my own small sufferings to be a better minister and friend to those who suffer greatly.
And together, so let even the unease I feel today work as your servant, accomplishing your better purposes in me. Amen. May the Lord bless us in this. Let's come together before him in prayer. Lord, you have told us what is good and what you require of us, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you, our God. Lord, we come acknowledging that as a nation we have not done justly. We have aborted, we have murdered over 1 million babies a year. Our greed is the bottom line for most. Selfishness is rampant. Lord, we acknowledge we fall so far short of your justice. As a nation, we also have not loved kindness or mercy. We have not been merciful to the needy, thinking that others will take care of them. We concern ourselves only with whether our taxes go up too much or not. Lord, we do not care for the stranger and alien, especially those displaced by wars. Lord, we do not immediately look out for the widows and the orphan or the downtrodden or the broken. Sometimes there's just too many of them. Lord, we have not walked humbly with you. We do not listen to what you would have us be and what you would have us do. Oh Lord, even now, help us as a nation to turn away from ourselves and return to you, to really do justice and to love kindness by walking humbly with you, listening to you and following you. Lord, we acknowledge that it's not just a problem for the nation, but far too often your church falls short as well in doing justly and loving kindness and mercy. And far too often we fail to walk humbly with you according to your word. Lord, forgive us, we pray, and send your Spirit. Thank you that on Pentecost Sunday, Lord, our great need still remains the same, that you might pour out your Spirit upon us and help us to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with you. That our hope is not in our learning more or trying harder, but in turning to you. And so, Lord, send by your mercy so that we might, as a nation, as your church, turn and return to you. And as we do so, Lord, we would pray that you might be our peace. Lord, we know the injustices around us have brought forth many protests, but we would pray for those, Lord, who are taking matters into their own hands, who are in it for themselves, Lord, that you would bring justice and peace. We pray for those who are oppressed, Lord, that you would bring peace and justice. We pray, Lord, for those trying to protect the peace in the midst of all this, that you would be with them and watch over them. Indeed, Lord, we pray for our law enforcement people who are part of Trinity and for all of them, that you, Lord, would protect them and give much grace in a very hard job to do justly and love kindness and mercy at the same time. Help them, Lord, to walk closely with you, and may your hand be upon them. Lord, we pray in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of these riots, that you, Lord, would rule. Our government has fallen far short. Oh, Lord, would you raise up godly, wise, sacrificial leaders? Would you raise up people to follow them? Again, sacrificially, according to your wisdom, by your grace. Lord, our great need again is for your Spirit to be poured out upon us. And we would ask that you, because of your mercies, Lord, we do not deserve anything but your judgment. But with you, Lord, there is mercy and forgiveness and compassion and steadfast love. And so we just would ask again for you to pour out your Spirit, to forgive us and to draw us to yourself, to give to us that finished work of Jesus so that we might have peace. And Lord, even in the midst of all this, thank you for growing our longing for that day when that will be so. But even as we wait, Lord, would you help us to be your peace with our neighbors, with our workers, with our cities, Lord, wherever you would send us. Help us to dwell in your peace and to show it to others. Lord, we pray for the great many whose health has been afflicted with this virus. And not just with this virus, but with all the other things that have fallen out with it, especially those who are struggling with loneliness and isolation. Would you be their very present help and their comfort? Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with their own frailty. We just continue to give thanks and ask for your grace to abound to Richard and Ann as they continue with his treatment. Thank you for the encouragement. Would you continue to bless and heal? We pray for Ann St. Clair and her continual pain with her back, Lord. Again, would you provide and bring healing and grace to rest in you for all of that? Continue to ask for your hand to be upon Hannah Bailey and her ongoing recovery and her struggle with hearing. We pray for Janine's dad, Lord, as he is stable but declining. Would you again just give grace to him? Would you give peace? Would you be at work in his family, Lord, to draw them to yourself and help them to have your peace in the midst of this? Lord, there are so many other needs that we haven't shared with one another, but you already know them. How thankful we are that you are our God, that you are a forgiving and merciful God, a wise and all-powerful God. And so, Lord, help us to rest in your steadfast love and your perfect power and to live under those, under you as our God, in your truth, for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time normally we do the offering, but since we're not, we'll just have a brief offertory. Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 13:14. It should be a familiar passage. I use it on a fairly regular basis as our final benediction on Sunday mornings. Hear now the word of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you all. Let's pray. O Lord, even now, bless us. Send your Spirit, open up our ears, open up our minds, open up our hearts to receive this, your blessing, your good word, and help us to live in it to the praise of your glory and grace. Amen. This world as it now is not our home. It's full of misery and brokenness, destruction and death, none of which were meant to be, but all are here because we all have fallen short of the glory of God. But this world as it now is all we know. Now, some of us have fuzzy memories of the good old days. The problem with those memories is the hard and the bad parts tend to fade while the good things are what we remember. Most of us are like that picture C.S. Lewis drew We're little children playing in a mud hole that's drying out, and someone is inviting us to go to the ocean, to the beach. And we can't imagine there's anything better than this mud hole, and so that's where we want to stay. Our blessing today is an invitation to something so much better, to someone better. It's an invitation to fellowship with Triune God. A quick background here. Corinth was a port city. It was the heart of the primary trade route throughout the Roman Empire. As a port city, it was incredibly diverse, both in its population, in its numerous religions, in its practices. Paul wound up spending 18 months there. It was a hard beginning, but God told him, "Do not be afraid. Go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people." And so for a year and a half, he preached the good news to those in the city, to those passing through, and helped many people to grow in grace. And in God's mercy, a church was firmly planted there. From Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we find out that church had trouble. That diversity of population came to the church. And so the church was fighting over who was the most important person to lead them. Was it Paul? Was it Apollos? Was it Peter? Was it someone else? They were fighting over spiritual gifts. My gift is better than your gift. No, your gift's better than mine, and I shouldn't do anything. They were fighting over marriage. They were fighting over what to eat or what not to eat. They were fighting over everything. Division was at the heart of them. And in the midst of that, Paul wrote to call them all back to one thing, Jesus Christ as Lord. In this second letter, Paul himself has been under attack by the false teachers and those who wanted power. And so he defends himself, and in so doing, he again points the people back to the Savior and Lord, but even more so, to the ministry this Lord had given him to do, to preach good news, which is the power of God for salvation. And in doing so, he highlights the true nature of the gospel, that you and I, that all God's people, are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that by the Holy Spirit, we are more and more being enabled to turn away from sin and turn to God, so that as we do so, we are empowered with that good news to be the Lord's blessing, to serve and to give to one another, even as we glorify God. This blessing is the final word of Paul to the church in Corinth. And as such, it is the very heart of the gospel. Once again, it comes in the form of a prayer, recognizing that unless the Lord blesses, Paul's work, Paul's teaching will have been in vain. And this prayer is for all God's people. Blessing itself is simple, straightforward. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace means God's favor, God's good gift. Many turn it into an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. It really summarizes the whole benefit of salvation that comes from Jesus' finished work. It is for those who cannot earn it. It is a gift, a grace, and for those who do not deserve it. That grace is God the Son's good and precious gift for His bride. It is a gift, a grace we desperately need. Because Jesus, the one equal with the Father, loved us and gave Himself for us so that we might be redeemed, the children of God once again. Grace is the good gift that enables us not only to be saved, but to live in all of God's blessings. Second part of this, the second element of this blessing is the love of God. Implied in the context here, it's the love of God the Father. Love, that word, again, agape, means unconditional commitment. God the Father is unconditionally committed to you from before the foundations of the world. This love is not something, again, we can earn or deserve. It flows from who He is. Often when I'm in counseling, I ask people, why does God love you? And they hem and they haw and they give me a few, and usually they say, I don't know. God loves you because God is love. Isn't that freeing? We don't do anything to deserve it. In fact, we do everything we can not to deserve it. But God is love. And that's the blessing. It was his love that was set upon you before the foundation of the world, revealed first through the promises, but then made clear in the sending of his Son, his only begotten Son, so that we might know and live in the fullness of that love as his dearly loved children. This we are given, this we realize, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us. In Christ, you are loved perfectly. The third element highlights the Holy Spirit, whose work it is to share all this grace and this love. That word fellowship literally means share or communicate. It's more than just sharing a meal, but sharing all that they have, all you have received, and being a blessing to others. And the Holy Spirit is God himself and has shared all of God's glory for all, with all who are his. Paul here is hearkening back to what he was teaching back in chapter 3 about the new covenant, where the Spirit helps us to turn away from our sin and our rebellion and to behold, to find freedom, to behold glory. And as we more and more look and understand Christ's glory, he makes us glorious. That's what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us, the very glory of God. This fellowship, this sharing of the Spirit transforms us from death to life, from misery to glory, from being those who take to those who are now free to give and to share and bless. That is, the Holy Spirit helps us to become more and more like Jesus, each in our own unique way, according to the work he has for each of us to do, as we're being built together into his holy dwelling place. Again, the Spirit doesn't just do this individually for each one of us, but is working to bring all of us together as the dwelling place of Christ. And he does that through the word that he inspired and now illuminates. The final phrase here makes clear this isn't for a privileged few, but for all of God's people through all time. Here is the unity Paul has been stressing in both letters. We all are similarly blessed. Remember, in both letters, Paul has had to confront those who are threatening or attacking the unity of the church. A unity that doesn't come from us saying, okay, we're going to be unified, but a unity that comes because we have one Lord and one Savior. There's only one way, only one truth, only one life, Jesus Christ. And there's no differentiation in the church. We all have sinned. And we are all saved by grace, blessed with the Father's love, sharing by the Holy Spirit's help. You know, one great picture of this allness is that none of us will enter glory before anyone else. Now, those who have died, their souls goes to be with the Lord immediately. But when Jesus returns, he will bring those souls with them, and those who are still alive, their souls will be caught up in the air. And we will all get new bodies in the new heaven and the new earth at the exact same instant. We all get to share in this. We will be Jesus' spotless and glorious bride, made ready by the Spirit, so that Jesus can present us to his Father. This blessing is simple: grace, love, sharing. But what it invites us to is profound. Looking at the whole in the context of all Scripture, what we find at the heart of this blessing is the gospel itself, that you and I and all of God's people are invited to partake and join in the fellowship of triune God, to be invited into the most glorious celebration, to enjoy perfect relationships, to know even as we are perfectly known, with much to share with one another as we celebrate and glorify God. To enjoy that, we have been and are covered by God's mercy, filled with God's grace, overwhelmed with God's love and goodness, and we will be forever. God himself is with us, and in repentance and faith, we are free to join in that blessed fellowship. Remember when we looked at number 6, that first one several weeks ago, the idea of the blessing as God taught Moses and passed it on to Aaron was that by blessing, God is putting his name on his people. That is, he's redeeming them, restoring them to his character, his holiness, restoring the relationship so that we might know and enjoy him. Jesus picks up on that and echoes it in the baptism formula. He has been raised from the dead, and he comes to his disciples and says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you." Again, Paul himself picks up on this in Ephesians 1 when he teaches and reminds us that in Christ we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have been chosen and predestined by the Father to be his loved and adopted children. You've been redeemed, forgiven, and united to God by the work of Jesus' grace. And a Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us so that we are sharing in all this and sealed by it, having a guaranteed inheritance. Salvation is so much more than being saved from sin and death. As wonderful as that is, they pale in comparison with the heart of the matter. You are saved for intimate, eternal communion with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're still creatures, but as creatures, we're invited to share in the divine fellowship, in the divine glory. That's a mystery that will take all eternity for us to understand and to figure out. Salvation is nothing less than the restoration of what was meant to be, a partaking of and rejoicing in our triune God. Freedom to listen and obey, to be blessed, and to be God's blessing to one another. That's what we're invited to here. The intimacy of the fellowship of the Godhead itself. That's what we were made for. That's our ultimate calling. You know, Lord called us here over 21 years ago, and that meant we had to leave a church that we had been with for 10 years. And as we were leaving, one of the least expected people wrote me a letter. And in that letter, he shared how much he was sorry that we were leaving. But the thing that gave him comfort is he had heard me proclaim these words, and the Lord had put them in his heart, that his real hope wasn't in some silly pastor, but in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't changing. It never will. This is what we were created for. This is what God the Son has redeemed us to share in. The glory of God himself. The infinity and eternity and unchangeableness of their wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. To be caught up into that. To be caught up in the fact that the Father does his work and the Son does his and the Spirit, that they are different. And so are we. We too are all made in God's image, but we reflect that image differently. And the invitation to the blessing here again is not for us to all be the same and all do the exact same thing, but uniquely and wonderfully to live, to enjoy, and to proclaim that fellowship of the Godhead. And in a world gone mad, hell-bent in pursuing misery and death, this blessing, this prayer, is an invitation to so much more. And it's also an instruction in how and what to pray. Lay it up in your heart. Pray it again and again. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, help us to hear. Help us to believe and to receive this, your blessing, and to live in that grace and that love and that sharing. Help us to stop settling for so much less. Oh Lord, open our eyes to behold your glory, and for the freedom that is ours in Christ, to partake of it as your dearly loved children. For your name's sake, amen. Let us ask the Lord to help us to do just that with Trinity Hymnal number 101, Come Thou Almighty King. Let's sing. Face, and that the Lord once again will bless our sharing with him. Even now, lift your hands and receive his blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours now and forever. Amen. Now you can unmute.